Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
We are back. We're continuing to broadcast live from Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill, the O'Fallon, Illinois location, 1319 Central Park Drive. We're doing the soccer showcase. That is still continuing on. Akil Watts is here. He's going to hang out for at least another 20, 25 minutes or so. So if you want to come by and meet him and take a picture and get an autograph, he is here for you to meet, which is he's being very, very gracious with his time, which is very cool. So we appreciate him stopping by. Also, again, want to say thank you to Michelob Ultra and Together Credit Union. We would not have these events without their support, along with Hot Shots and City overall being able to help us out with this. So always a lot of fun. This event is going to continue on here at Hot Shots. We're going to shift gears and talk a little bit more baseball here in this 7 o'clock hour, taking until 8 o'clock this evening. But again, if you want to stop on by, the event's going to continue on for a little while. But let's get into the Cardinals a bit, as it is an off day. And again, if you want to chime in on anything that we're saying, feel free to text into the program at 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you can text in, or you can tweet at me at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. So where are the Cardinals going into the trade deadline? Is the trade deadline, it is coming up in less than a week. And you have to think that this is the time that conversations are really starting to heat up. And sometimes we say this a lot during the offseason when it comes to free agency, that it takes that first move to get things going. It always seems that way with the trade deadline as well. The only difference on the trade deadline is it is a deadline. So there is a drop dead moment. It's not like free agency where you just have an almost unending amount of time after free agency opens and you're waiting for something to happen. There is a timer that goes along with the trade deadline. So it's a combination of who's going to blink first versus making sure that you get the deal done, or the deals, plural, deals done that you want to have done prior to the deadline. And we've talked about it. We'll continue to talk about it ad nauseum. The needs for the Cardinals are clear. Starting pitching, you would love for them to add to the top of the rotation. Bring in somebody who can slot in probably behind Sonny Gray and be your number two starter. Not only is that going to help you in the regular season, because actually I think the rotation, the way it's set right now, it's fine for the regular season. But you would not be overly confident with this group going into a short playoff series if all of a sudden you've got somebody else starting in that number two spot and pushing everybody back. You're going to feel much better about this team's possibility of making some type of noise in the postseason. So getting, I say a high-end starter, when I say high-end starter, a guy who slots in to one of those top two spots in the rotation. I really think that they need bullpen help. And they have played so many close games. It has really gotten to a point where these high-leverage guys, Ryan Helsley, JoJo Romero, Andrew Kittredge, I think Helsley's been great. We haven't seen anything go wrong with him. And Ryan Fernandez is in that group as well. But Kittredge hasn't been quite as sharp as he was earlier. He's still been very good. A lot of confidence when Kittredge comes out. But Romero is somebody that's a little bit hit or miss right now. And for a guy like Romero, really, he's going through his first full season as a high-leverage relief pitcher. We saw him in that role at the end of the season last year, and he did a really nice job. But that's a lot different than what he's doing right now. And when it comes to high-leverage guys, when they're in these close games, literally every pitch that they're throwing matters. And that's the difference between somebody that you don't use in high leverage, even the difference with starting pitching. You know, one of the interesting things about Sonny Gray is how he goes at 100% full effort on every single pitch that he throws. That is a rare thing in baseball when it comes to starting pitchers. Starting pitchers inherently just kind of throw a lot of pitches that really don't matter, where Gray never takes his foot off the ignition. And when you're talking about the high leverage guys, they are in a spot where every pitch matters. So it takes more out of you if you're JoJo Romero, if you're Andrew Kittredge, if you're Ryan Helsley in your one inning that you throw, compared to somebody else who's pitching in mop-up duty or pitching in games that the team is losing. It's just a little bit different. And with the number of close games that the Cardinals have played all season long, it's starting to wear on those guys a little bit. And I think everybody would be a little bit more comfortable if there was another pitcher or two that you felt comfortable pitching in the seventh, eighth, ninth inning in a game that you're up by one run. That's the profile of pitcher that needs to be brought in. That's it. The definition of high leverage, you know, the close and late thing, save situation, final three innings. So three runs or less, final three innings. But what we're really talking about is, do you feel confident with this guy pitching in the eighth inning in a game that you're up by one run? And they need to bring in a relief pitcher or two that you feel very comfortable having them pitch in those spots. And if nothing else, that's going to start to lift the strain that you've been putting on some of these other pitchers. Keenan Middleton's loss has played a very big role in where the Cardinals' bullpen is right now, because he would have been that fourth guy for the final three innings. And you wouldn't be in this spot where every single time, assuming they're all available, every single time it's a three-run or less game, you're going to those three guys just over and over and over and over again. If you have that fourth guy, you're going to be giving somebody else a day off more often, and exponentially that's going to put you in a better spot. So starting pitching, relief pitching, and then what I'm most interested to see, because I think those two things are clearly the priority. Those are the areas where you got to get better. I don't think there's much of a choice. The team has to find a way to bring in starting pitching and bring in relief pitching. If they do not do that at the deadline, I think it is a disappointing trade deadline for the Cardinals. But the other spot is a right-handed bat. You know, Kevin Wheeler and I were talking about this a little bit, I think it was today during 515 Sports, how you bring in one right-handed bat, that doesn't fix all your problems against lefties. There's other things that need to happen, most notably two guys who are expected to be big-time right-handed bats, and Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado need to continue to get better. And I think what we've seen lately from Arenado hasn't been bad. Goldschmidt continues to... One day he looks okay, and then for the next week it's just not it's not great. And you know he's somebody that's putting in all the work, but at some point you need some production out of him, because you need production from the right side, and he's supposed to be one of the big bats from the right side. They've got a guy at AAA in Ivan Herrera who's got a pretty good right-handed bat. He has not got a spot on the roster right now, and outside of Pedro Páez going down, that's probably not going to happen, and I don't see that happening. I think the Cardinals are very comfortable right now with Páez being the backup catcher, and they love his defensive profile for sure. So those are the things that are going on. We're continuing every day. We're hearing more and more names. We're hearing more and more rumors. We're hearing all this stuff about who the Cardinals could potentially be interested in. The names I'm mostly hearing, I'm mostly happy with. And if those things come to fruition, I think the team does get better. It continues to be a thing, not so much when it comes to bullpen guys, because you've got guys who you can send down to AAA, but if you do bring in a right-handed bat, whose job is that going to cost? If you bring in a starting pitcher, what's going to happen there? If you bring somebody, Andre Pallante has been as good as any starting pitcher for the Cardinals really since he went into the rotation, certainly over the last month or so. But it's hard for me to see a scenario where they would bring in a starting pitcher and they would take a Lance Lynn, or they would take a Miles Michaelis, or they would take Kyle Gibson out of the rotation. Like, that's not going to happen. So what happens to an Andre Pallante, who has proved to be a more reliable pitcher working as a starter compared to what he has done as a reliever? So keep it here on KMOX. We're going to have a lot of talk about this leading into the trade deadline. Again, we are less than a week away from the Major League Baseball trade deadline, and we will keep you tuned in with everything that's going to be going on. Just a text message that comes in. Somebody says that I think they meant Rangers. They said, I say Max Scherzer will not be leaving the Nationals. Max Scherzer's with the Rangers. I don't know if the Cardinals are really going to be in on Scherzer. I think this is an interesting name to watch, though, because if the Rangers at some point do kind of make the decision that they're not really in this playoff race anymore, well, then they are going to they're going to sell. And people keep looking at the wild card race when it comes to the Rangers. The Rangers are not in great position when it comes to the wild card race in the American League. They're five games back. But where they're still in a pretty good spot is in the divisional race. The Rangers are only 2.5 games back of the Astros and only one game back of the Mariners. The AL West isn't very good. The Astros are 4 games over 500. They're the first place team in the division. Mariners are 2 games over 500. They're the second place in the division. And the Rangers at 1 game under 500 are 2.5 games back. So they're right there. This is a really important week coming up, really, really important next 4 days or so coming up for the Rangers. That team is going to prove whether or not they are still in the playoff race. Now, what have they done lately? They've won 5 in a row. So, no, I don't think Max Scherzer is going to get traded, because I think the Rangers are going to feel like they are a team that still absolutely has an opportunity to win that division and have an opportunity to make it in the postseason, coming off a year where they won the World Series. We will take a break, and when we return, we'll be joined by Corey Miller. You see him on Channel 5, sports anchor, sports reporter. We'll get his thought on the state of the Cardinals. We'll do that next. Again, we are broadcasting live today at Hot Shots Bar and Grill. We are at the O'Fallon, Illinois location. Would love for you to stop on by. We've got more coming up in just a moment. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are broadcasting the show live from Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill, O'Fallon, Illinois, for the soccer showcase. Akil Watts has been here. A lot of folks getting to meet him and take pictures and sign autographs and things like that. Always a really, really cool deal. We're going to have one more of these showcase events coming up in September. Some more details on that will be on the way. Michelob Ultra, Together Credit Union, a big part of what we're doing as well. Right now, very happy to be able to go back to the guest line. You see him on Channel 5. He is a sports anchor and sports reporter. He is our good friend Corey Miller. Follow him on Twitter at Corey_Miller5. Corey, appreciate you taking some time with us today. How are you?
Thanks for having me on, Matt. I hope you're having a fun time over there on my side of the river in Illinois.
Yeah, you're a Freeburg kid, right?
Freeburg born and raised.
All right, that's I used to do stuff in Sparta, and I think I drove through Freeburg to get to Sparta. Do I have that right?
That sounds about right.
Okay, that is the extent of my knowledge on Freeburg, Illinois. So we will
You're more than most. That's more than most people have. So you're ahead of the curve.
Fair enough. Hey, so the Cardinals are less than a week out, along with all of Major League Baseball, from the trade deadline. The needs are obvious: starting pitching, relief pitching, maybe a right-handed bat. How do you see this playing out? What are your expectations on what the Cardinals are going to do at the deadline?
I think I just wrote this in my intro tonight at 10 o'clock on Channel 5. But the answer can't be nothing, that's for sure. Now, you look at the rotation, and that's what we've been talking about all year long, but you look at the numbers a little better, and that's maybe where your strong suit is. And the guy who's your fifth starter, Andre Puente, has maybe been your best starter. But I think it's a point even you raised on Twitter recently. You got to have that depth going down the stretch. And finding another starter is kind of the big cherry on top that this team really looks like it has to have if they want to compete down the stretch and into the postseason. I think the prices are going to be pretty steep, especially on guys like the two guys from the White Sox, Crochet and Fetty, and the Angels lefty. And it's going to cost you a lot. But if you're really serious about going for it this year, you're going to have to pay some price from somebody.
To me, it feels like this could be a deadline somewhat like what we saw 2 years ago. Maybe they won't get two starters like they did with Montgomery and Quintana, but that level of pitcher, if you go get some version of Jordan Montgomery, some version of Jose Quintana, and of course Montgomery then is not what Montgomery turned into, but if you can get that level of pitcher, don't they kind of nicely slot into that number two spot and you feel better about maybe going out and competing in a playoff series?
I think you nailed it right there. And if you get somebody that slides in there, everybody kind of, backfills, and you just feel better about your overall situation. Knock on wood, the Cardinals have been very lucky when it comes to injuries, other than Steven Matz in that starting rotation this year, that nobody's been gone for really an extended amount of time, and they've been able to weather the storm. If you make it through a whole season kind of on pins and needles like that, you're really living right. So you need as many arms as you can get coming down the stretch.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have if you have more guys than spots available. But at the same time, it's a team that might start getting into some roster crunches in the future with Tommy Edman at some point, you would think, would be back. We'll wait and see. He's again playing after having another setback. Dylan Carlson's name has been mentioned a lot as far as the trade targets. You look at guys on the bench like a Brandon Crawford, like a Matt Carpenter, and you say, what are these guys really giving you? There's potentially some very tough decisions to be made that will go along with the trade deadline.
You know, I might have used this analogy to you in the clubhouse once, but if anybody's a Simpsons fan, there's that episode Homer at the Bat when they lose Ozzy in like the mystery zone or whatever. That feels like what happened to Tommy Edman this year, because who knows if we're actually ever going to see him play this season at this point. There is going to be some tough decisions, though, especially if you bring on another bat, like I think would be smart to do, right-handed preferably. We saw in Pittsburgh kind of going up against lefties another time they've struggled against the guy who's been shelled by most of the league, except he's a lefty and he does well against the Cardinals. So there's going to be some tough decisions, but you want to win, and you're going to have to make some of those tough decisions to put the best roster you possibly can out there. And I think the veterans, they've been through it. They know it's about putting the best roster on the field, and if it comes down to it, that's how it is.
If we're being really honest and really blunt about things, the position that they're in, needing a potential right-handed bat, it's really connected to your middle-of-the-order veteran, former MVP, future Hall of Fame third baseman, you know, the two guys in Goldschmidt and Arenado. They just haven't performed, and now all of a sudden a guy like Martin Perez is going to go out there and mow you down despite the fact that he's got a 6 ERA.
It's really been the same storyline since opening day. The two big guys on the corners have to produce if you want to win. And if you would show me those guys' stats right now and then show me where the Cardinals are at in the standings, I would think, oh my gosh, thank goodness. Because it could have been a lot worse to this point so far. But I don't think there's any way. You got to get something more from them down the stretch if you want to actually be a force going into the playoffs.
We're talking with Corey Miller from Channel 5. Where would this club be without Alec Burleson? From just what he has done, he has clearly had the most impactful bat this year.
Isn't that something? I remember sitting around the picnic tables down in Jupiter. You know, we're going through our hypothetical rosters, and we didn't always have Alec Burleson on those rosters. And now we're sitting in late July, and he's the most important player on the team. It's kind of crazy how it worked out, but you give him an opportunity. You know, you loved what you saw in terms of, we talk about the barrel rate and the hard hit rate and all those kind of things, and just hitting into some bad luck maybe last year where the stats, like average and whatnot, weren't exactly where you wanted them. You knew the tools were there. Now he's taken his chance, and he's absolutely run wild with it. And it's just infectious to kind of see his personality rub off on everybody else.
It's a great point you make, because, and this goes back to Tommy Edman. When we got down to Jupiter, we're told, hey, you know what, Edman might not be available for the start of spring training games, but give it a week or so, and he's gonna be in there. And the goalposts have just moved time after time after time with him, to he's not going to play in spring, to he's not going to be available for the start of the season, to he's going to be on the injured list but not on the 60-day, oh, he's going to have to be on the 60. Like, it has just continually been something new with Edman. But if the messaging that we got when spring training got started, that he's going to be fine, if that's the case, to your point, there's a pretty good chance that Burleson is not on the roster to start the season.
The alternate history of this Cardinals years, something to think about for sure, especially once we see how it all ends up and what happened and whatnot. But yeah, the Edmund, it was maybe a month ago or so, I just kind of resigned myself to the fact, you know what, I'm going to count on not seeing him this year, and if I do, it'll be a pleasant surprise.
I was joking with you because I know you were down at Springfield and you were doing another story, nothing to do with Edman, but I knew you were down there, and somebody mentioned it to me in the press box, and it was when around the time his rehab start was getting started, and we thought that maybe you were down there to do an Edman story, and then he ended up not even playing. You know, he got scratched at the last minute, but it's been such a start and stop for him, and even 3 days ago, he was back in a stop mode.
Yeah, luckily I didn't go all the way to Springfield for that, or I would have just come back with nothing, and a trip to the new Buc-ee's down there in Springfield would have been the only thing I came back with, so that was good.
So you made the stop at Buc-ee's?
Oh, I made two stops at Buc-ee's. Ooh. On the way in and on the way out after I got done finishing interviewing a couple of Cardinals pitching prospects, Tim Kent, Quinn Matthews, and Cooper Jerpy.
I've not yet experienced Buc-ee's, and it is something that I want to at some point. My wife and I were honestly talking about this. The baseball winter meetings are in Dallas this upcoming year, and I can fly, but I thought to myself, you know, if I drive down there, it would give me the opportunity to stop at a Buc-ee's.
You know what? I had heard people talk about it forever, and I was like, it's just a gas station. Like, I don't need to go out of my way. What are you people talking about? And I stopped at the first one, and I was like, oh, I get it. Okay, this place is pretty awesome.
I'll have to experience at some point. Last thing for you, the Brewers, now Christian Yelich is out. He said today that he's going to try to be back. There was talk that maybe he was going to need spinal surgery and be done for the year. They just keep having bad things happen to him, injuries happen, and all of a sudden there's about 60 games left in the season, and they've got a six-game lead in the division. Is this just another year where we underestimate who they are going to be and they're going to be right there at the end?
If they are, they've proven me wrong again, because just looking at this roster coming into the year, we've talked about this before. This is a team that looked like they were actively trying to lose. They traded their Cy Young winner. A couple years ago, they shipped Josh Hader off, and a move that kind of stunned everybody, thinking they were okay with losing. And now here they are, six games up on July 25th, and I'm looking at, they got an 84-run differential. So I guess we just should stop underestimating the Brewers, but I really do think at some point the wheels are going to fall off.
I've thought the exact same thing, and all of a sudden I see him six up, and I don't know. Corey, appreciate the time. He is Corey Miller. You see him, sports reporter, sports anchor, Channel 5, KSDK, at Corey_Miller5 on Twitter. Anything coming up on the sportscast tonight that you want to plug before you get out of here?
Oh, gosh. We are shifting into Olympics mode here at Channel 5, of course.
That's right.
You can watch all your Olympics coverage here on NBC, and tonight, right on the eve of the opening ceremonies, we are going to talk about the 12 local athletes you got to keep your eye on in Paris. That's a lot from one area, and they all got great stories, and we've covered them over the years. We've got an interview blast from the past with an 11-year-old, Brandon Miller, who's going to compete in the 800 meters, who at 11 years old said he dreams about standing there in the Olympics. So, we've got some really good stuff with some local Olympic athletes coming up.
Awesome. Have fun with the Olympics. I'm sure you'll have some late nights with late coverage. But, people will be locked in for sure. And we appreciate you taking some time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Matt.
All right. That's Corey Miller, sports anchor, sports reporter with Channel 5. And we appreciate him taking a few moments with us. Yeah, I just got a text message a few moments ago about Garrett Crochet, White Sox pitcher. And some news came out about him today, which I think is really interesting, and it's somewhat controversial because if he gets traded by a team that's headed to the playoffs, he has a very specific requirement on what it will take for him to actually pitch in the playoffs for the team that acquires him. We'll tell you about that. I'll give you my thoughts on it as we continue to broadcast the show live from Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill in O'Fallon, Illinois, here on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line. We broadcast live at Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill, O'Fallon, Illinois. Thanks again to the folks here at Hot Shots. They have been absolutely fantastic. What a great staff they have here at this at every Hot Shots. But the way we've been treated here has been absolutely spectacular. So really appreciate them. Appreciate the folks with Michelob Ultra and Together Credit Union as well for this soccer showcase event. We are going to have one more of these coming up in September. So this is our third of four. We are going to do one more coming up. And that's going to, let's make sure I get this right. That's going to be coming up on Thursday, September 12th And that's going to be at the Fenton location. So we'll be back on the Missouri side of things. Fenton, Missouri on September 12th is going to be our next Michelob Ultra Soccer Showcase, along with Together Credit Union and Hot Shots. So hopefully we will see you then. I got a text message earlier from the 314, from Chet, actually. And he says, do you think the Cardinals could put together a package for Garrett Crochet? I would include Tink Hints in a trade if needed, especially if they could extend Crochet. So that goes along with what I want to talk about here, because Garrett Crochet, who is a fantastic young pitcher, a guy who's got swing and miss ability. We always talk about guys who can miss bats. He can miss bats for sure. He announced something today which caught a lot of people off guard. He said that if he gets traded, he will not pitch for the team that acquires him in this year's postseason unless he receives a contract extension. Now, that's notable because he still has 2 years of club control. So if you go acquire Garrett Crochet, you get him for two more years without his ability to go somewhere else as a free agent. But his point, and I see where he's coming from, and let me back up a little bit. If you are a pitcher and you increase your innings pitched from 1 year to the next, there is a threshold that you don't want to go over in terms of how much more you've increased your innings pitched, because once you cross a certain threshold, you are at a point where you are at a much more high probability of not just getting injured, but having a major injury. We're talking Tommy John surgery, something like that. So that's why when we talk about Tink Hintz, one of my major worries with Tink Hintz is, when can he get to the big leagues and be a true starting pitcher? Because minimum, as a starting pitcher, every fifth day kind of guy, minimum, you want somebody who can give you 160 innings in a year. And you really want more than that. You want 180. You want a guy that you feel comfortable that can give you 180. But 160 is okay. Tink Hintz has never thrown more than 100 innings in a season. So if he were to jump from, say, 100 to 160 from one season to the next, in many ways you are asking for him to get injured. That is a very large jump, and that is something that organizations try not to do. And Hintz has been on the injured list. He hasn't pitched in about a month. He's pitched three total innings since May 31st. He got 99 innings last year. He was trying to get to 100. This is going to be a year where he was going to take a nice jump, and it hasn't happened. So that's something to keep in the back of your mind when it comes to Tink Hintz. So let's bring this back to Garrett Crochet. He is a first-time starter this year, and he has already doubled his single-season high in innings. He has pitched 111 and a third innings this year. He had just 12 and two-thirds innings last year. Now, in his 111 innings, he has struck out 157 batters. So his strikeout stuff is real. There had been some talk recently that maybe this was somebody that was going to end up in the bullpen for the rest of this season just to keep that innings pitch down, because you are way past the point of gambling for injury, just way past it at this point. So you put him in the bullpen and you lessen his innings. Well, if you're a team that's going to get him for this year, you want him to be a starter, and you want him to be a starter that you can throw in the postseason as well. So even though there are two more years of club control, he has basically said, look, I am putting myself on the line. I am risking injury every single time I pitch because of how many innings I have thrown this year. And I am somebody that has no leverage right now in my contract situation. So where do you get control back if you're in that spot? You say, I need a contract extension. I need to get paid. I need to have some security where, if you forcing me to pitch even more this year, if you forcing me to pitch into the postseason and continue to risk major injury, on the backside of that, I need to have confidence that I've got financial security and I'm not going to have to go get Tommy John surgery, and that's going to take me over the next couple of years to where I finally get to free agency and my value is going to be way down. Now, from a tough guy perspective, if you're listening to this, I bet you don't like it. Oh, who is he to say that he is not going to pitch in the postseason without a contract extension? Who is he? How dare him? I know that that reaction is out there. I would respectfully disagree with it. I understand where he's coming from. And let's take a step back and say shame on the Chicago White Sox for putting him in this position. You could have skipped a start here and there. You could have controlled a little bit more. Now, his innings would still be coming. He hasn't thrown that much. There's not a lot you could have done, but you could have done a little bit more than what they have done this year. But I'm sure for the White Sox, they're sitting there saying, it's not our problem. This guy's not going to be with us. We're going to go trade him. So that puts a little bit of an interesting spin on this now, where if you want Garrett Crochet in the postseason, you're going to have to be willing to pay him. And what will be interesting now is whether or not teams that maybe come to an agreement to acquire Crochet are going to be then given the opportunity to negotiate with his representation and try to get a deal done. You know, there was a somewhat similar situation, although it was out of season, not in season, but Tyler Glass now, when he was traded from the Rays to the Dodgers, he wanted a deal to get done, and they worked out a deal before the trade, and he got a 5-year, $136.5 million. But it's not a total, it's not an apples to apples comparison. So Garrett Crochet's name has been mentioned. I don't think the Cardinals are going to be in on Crochet, even with Tinkin. So going back to the text message that started this entire conversation, even if the Cardinals are willing to put Tinkins in that deal, I don't know if the Cardinals have what it takes to get Crochet. And then to take that one step further, you are going to have to put down a major financial multi-year commitment, and you're going to have to put that together very quickly, because that's going to be part of the requirement to be able to get him to pitch in the postseason. The last thing any team would want is to go acquire Crochet, get into the postseason, and him not be available for you. So you got to have some level of confidence that you're going to get that deal done beforehand. I don't think the Cardinals are going to be in on Crochet. I just don't. And there's probably a bunch of teams now that were maybe in on Crochet that will not be now because of this requirement that he has put in, that he's not going to pitch. And that's where and what's going to be interesting now to see is do more players do this? In some ways, it kind of reminds me of college football players making the decision not to participate in bowl games. A lot of people don't like that, but it's financially based. Players who are going to go into the NFL draft don't want to risk injury in a game that doesn't mean anything, so they take a step out. This is the playoffs mean something, so again, not an apples-to-apples comparison, but it does somewhat remind me of that. And that's as athletes are becoming more and more emboldened to do things like this. It's just the world that we are living in right now. All right, we'll take one more break, and when we return, we will come back one final time here at Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill. It is the Soccer Showcase, and we appreciate everybody out here. One more break, come back, and wrap things up right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Starting to wrap things up here on KMOX, it is a Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill. Again, thanks to the folks here at Hot Shots. They have been so hospitable to us today, and it's just been great here in O'Fallon, Illinois, and we've been doing the Soccer Showcase. Again, we've got one more of these coming up on September 12th, so about a month and a half from now. That night it's going to be at the Fenton location, but it's been a lot of fun here today. Thanks again to Akil Watts, who was with us earlier, and a lot of fans got the chance to meet with him. If the season were to end right now, going back to baseball, if the Major League Baseball season were to end right now, the Cardinals would not be in the playoffs for the first time in quite some time. They have fallen out of playoff position. The Cardinals are currently a half game back of the San Diego Padres. Padres got a win today over the Washington Nationals. Not only did they get a win, Dylan Cease threw a no-hitter, but the Padres are starting to roll. They had been one of the more disappointing teams this season. They've won five straight games. They just swept the Nationals. Before that, they took two of three from... It's Graybar Sports Open Line. We broadcast live at Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill, O'Fallon, Illinois. Thanks again to the folks here at Hotshots. They have been absolutely fantastic. What a great staff they have here at this at every Hotshots, but the way we've been treated here has been absolutely spectacular. So really appreciate them, appreciate the folks with Michelob Ultra and Together Credit Union as well for the Soccer Showcase event. We are going to have one more of these coming up in September. So this is our third of four. We are going to do one more coming up. And that's going to, let's see, let's make sure I get this right. That's going to be coming up on Thursday, September 12th, and that's going to be at the Fenton location. So we'll be back on the Missouri side of things. Fenton, Missouri on September 12th is going to be our next Michelob Ultra Soccer Showcase along with Together Credit Union and Hotshot. So hopefully we will see you then. I got a text message earlier from the 314, from Chet actually, and he says, Do you think the Cardinals could put together a package for Garrett Crochet? I would include Tink Hintz in a trade if needed, especially if they could extend Crochet. So that goes along with what I want to talk about here, because Garrett Crochet, who is a fantastic young pitcher, a guy who's got swing and miss ability. We always talk about guys who can miss bats. He can miss bats for sure. He announced something today which caught a lot of people off guard. He said that if he gets traded, he will not pitch for the team that acquires him in this year's postseason unless he receives a contract extension. Now, that's notable because he still has 2 years of club control. So if you go acquire Garrett Crochet, you get him for two more years without his ability to go somewhere else as a free agent. But his point, and I see where he's coming from, and let me back up a little bit. If you are a pitcher and you increase your innings pitched from 1 year to the next, there is a threshold that you don't want to go over in terms of how much more you've increased your innings pitched. Because once you cross a certain threshold, you are at a point where you are at a much more high probability of not just getting injured, but having a major injury. We're talking Tommy John surgery, something like that. So that's why when we talk about Tink Hintz, one of my major worries with Tink Hintz is, when can he get to the big leagues and be a true starting pitcher? Because minimum, as a starting pitcher, every fifth day kind of guy, minimum, you want somebody who can give you 160 innings in a year. And you really want more than that. You want 180. You want a guy that you feel comfortable that can give you 180. But 160 is okay. Tink Hintz has never thrown more than 100 innings in a season. So if he were to jump from, say, 100 to 160 from one season to the next, in many ways you are asking for him to get injured. That is a very large jump. And that is something that organizations try not to do. And Hintz is injured. Hintz has been on the injured list. He hasn't pitched in about a month. He's pitched three total innings since May 31st. So that's, you know, this. He got, I think it was 99 innings last year. He was trying to get to 100. This is going to be a year where he was going to take a nice jump, and it hasn't happened. So that's something to keep in the back of your mind when it comes to Tink Hintz. So let's bring this back to Garrett Crochet. He is a first-time starter this year, and he has already doubled his single-season high in innings. He has pitched 111 and a third innings this year. He had just 12 and two-thirds innings last year. Now, in his 111 innings, he has struck out 157 batters. So his strikeout stuff is real. there'd been some talk recently that maybe this was somebody that was going to end up in the bullpen for the rest of this season just to keep that innings pitch down, because you are way past the point of gambling for injury. Just way past it at this point. So you put him in the bullpen and you lessen his innings. Well, if you're a team that's going to get him for this year, you want him to be a starter, and you want him to be a starter that you can throw in the postseason as well. So even though there are two more years of club control, he has basically said, look, I am putting myself on the line. I am risking injury every single time I pitch because of how many innings I have thrown this year. And I am somebody that has no leverage right now in my contract situation. So where do you get control back if you're in that spot? You say, I need a contract extension. I need to get paid. I need to have some security where if you forcing me to pitch even more this year, if you forcing me to pitch into the postseason and continue to risk major injury, on the backside of that, I need to have confidence that I've got financial security and I'm not going to have to go get Tommy John surgery, and that's going to take me over the next couple years to where I finally get to free agency and my value is going to be way down. Now, from like a tough guy perspective, if you're listening to this, I bet you don't like it. Oh, who is he to say that he is not going to pitch in the postseason without a contract extension? Who is he? How dare him? I know that that reaction is out there. I would respectfully disagree with it. I understand where he's coming from. And let's take a step back and say shame on the Chicago White Sox for putting him in this position. You could have skipped a start here and there. You could have controlled a little bit more. Now, his innings would still be coming. He hasn't thrown that much. There's not a lot you could have done, but you could have done a little bit more than what they have done this year. But I'm sure for the White Sox, they're sitting there saying, it's not our problem. This guy's not going to be with us. We're going to go trade him. So that puts a little bit of an interesting spin on this now, where if you want Garrett Crochet in the postseason, you're going to have to be willing to pay him. And what will be interesting now is whether or not teams that maybe come to an agreement to acquire Crochet are going to be then given the opportunity to negotiate with his representation and try to get a deal done. You know, there was a somewhat similar situation, although it was out of season, not in season, but Tyler Glass now, when he was traded from the Rays to the Dodgers, he wanted a deal to get done, and they worked out a deal before the trade, and he got a 5-year, $136.5 million. But it's not a total, it's not an apples to apples comparison. So Garrett Crochet's name has been mentioned. I don't think the Cardinals are going to be in on Crochet, even with Tinkent. So going back to the text message that started this entire conversation. Even if the Cardinals are willing to put Tinkins in that deal, I don't know if the Cardinals have what it takes to get Crochet. And then to take that one step further, you are going to have to put down a major financial multi-year commitment, and you're going to have to put that together very quickly, because that's going to be part of the requirement to be able to get him to pitch in the postseason. The last thing any team would want is to go acquire Crochet, get into the postseason, and him not be available for you. So you got to have some level of confidence that you're going to get that deal done beforehand. I don't think the Cardinals are going to be in on Crochet. I just don't. And there's probably a bunch of teams now that were maybe in on Crochet that will not be now because of this requirement that he has put in, that he's not going to pitch. And that's where what's going to be interesting now to see is do more players do this? In some ways, it kind of reminds me of college football players making the decision not to participate in bowl games. A lot of people don't like that, but it's financially based. Players who are going to go into the NFL draft don't want to risk injury in a game that doesn't mean anything, so they take a step out. This is the playoffs mean something, so again, not an apples-to-apples comparison, but it does somewhat remind me of that. And as athletes are becoming more and more emboldened to do things like this, it's just the world that we are living in right now. All right, we'll take one more break, and when we return, we will come back one final time here at Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill. It is the Soccer Showcase, and we appreciate everybody out here. One more break, come back, and wrap things up right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Starting to wrap things up here on KMOX, it is a Hot Sports Bar and Grill. Again, thanks to the folks here at Hot Shots. They have been so hospitable to us today. And it's just been great here in O'Fallon, Illinois. And we've been doing the Soccer Showcase. Again, we've got one more of these coming up on September 12th. So about a month and a half from now, that night it's going to be at the Fenton location. But it's been a lot of fun here today. Thanks again to Akil Watts, who was with us earlier. And a lot of fans got the chance to meet with him. If the season were to end right now, going back to baseball, if the Major League Baseball season were to end right now, the Cardinals would not be in the playoffs. For the first time in quite some time, they have fallen out of playoff position. The Cardinals are currently a half game back of the San Diego Padres. Padres got a win today over the Washington Nationals. Not only did they get a win, Dylan Cease threw a no-hitter, but the Padres are starting to roll. They had been one of the more disappointing teams this season. They've won five straight games. They just swept the Nationals. Before that, they took 2 of 3 from Cleveland. That was a good series for them. The Mets are the other team that are tied with the Padres. The Mets and Padres are in a virtual tie for the second and third wild card spot. Mets have been playing really good baseball. They just got done sweeping the Yankees. They and the Braves are matched up right now. So the Cardinals gain a half game on one of those teams one way or another. So I guess you don't really have a rooting interest too much in that one. And the game is currently 2-2 in the seventh. Not that we will not be paying attention to games in the NL Central, but we're at the point now with 60 games left and still a deficit in the NL Central. We're going to start spending some more time watching the Braves and watching the Mets and watching the Padres, teams like that that are sitting there that the Cardinals are trying to get a playoff spot over. And again, the trade deadline is coming up in less than a week. And sitting there and looking at the wild card standings and seeing a Cardinals team that's now out of playoff position, it just reminds you that there is absolutely some work to do. Cardinals and Nationals tomorrow night, Busch Stadium. A 7:15 first pitch. Our coverage is going to begin at 6:20, and I'll talk to you then. We might have a quick short sports open line for just a few minutes before we get into Cardinals coverage. Thanks to everybody here at Hot Shots, everybody who helped get this broadcast on tonight, Akil Watts, especially from City, joining us. Appreciate everybody being out here. Again, if you're looking for a place to get yourself some food, get yourself some drink, Hot Shots, O'Fallon, Illinois. It is a great place to go. I'll talk to you tomorrow for Cardinals baseball right here on KMOX. Bar and Grill. It is the Soccer Showcase, and we appreciate everybody out here. One more break, come back, and wrap things up right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Starting to wrap things up here on KMOX, it is a Shot Sports Bar and Grill. Again, thanks to the folks here at Hot Shots. They have been so hospitable to us today. And it's just been great here in O'Fallon, Illinois. And we've been doing the Soccer Showcase. Again, we've got one more of these coming up on September 12th. So about a month and a half from now, that night it's going to be at the Fenton location. But it's been a lot of fun here today. Thanks again to Akil Watts, who was with us earlier. And a lot of fans got the chance to meet with him. If the season were to end right now, going back to baseball, if the Major League Baseball season were to end right now, the Cardinals would not be in the playoffs. For the first time in quite some time, they have fallen out of playoff position. The Cardinals are currently a half game back of the San Diego Padres. Padres got a win today over the Washington Nationals. Not only did they get a win, Dylan Cease threw a no-hitter, but the Padres are starting to roll. They had been one of the more disappointing teams this season. They've won five straight games. They just swept the Nationals. Before that, they took 2 of 3 from Cleveland. That was a good series for them. The Mets are the other team that are tied with the Padres. The Mets and Padres are in a virtual tie for the second and third wild card spot. Mets have been playing really good baseball. They just got done sweeping the Yankees. They and the Braves are matched up right now. So the Cardinals gain a half game on one of those teams one way or another. So I guess you don't really have a rooting interest too much in that one. And the game is currently 2-2 in the seventh. Not that we will not be paying attention to games in the NL Central, but we're at the point now with 60 games left and still a deficit in the NL Central. We're going to start spending some more time watching the Braves and watching the Mets and watching the Padres, teams like that that are sitting there that the Cardinals are trying to get a playoff spot over. And again, the trade deadline is coming up in less than a week. And sitting there and looking at the wild card standings and seeing a Cardinals team that's now out of playoff position, it just reminds you that there is absolutely some work to do. Cardinals and Nationals tomorrow night, Busch Stadium. A 7:15 first pitch. Our coverage is going to begin at 6:20, and I'll talk to you then. We might have a quick short sports open line for just a few minutes before we get into Cardinals coverage. Thanks to everybody here at Hot Shots, everybody who helped get this broadcast on tonight, Akil Watts, especially from City, joining us. Appreciate everybody being out here. Again, if you're looking for a place to get yourself some food, get yourself some drink, Hot Shots, O'Fallon, Illinois. It is a great place to go. I'll talk to you tomorrow for Cardinals baseball right here on KMOX.